Mike Zella was already known to the pastor who was leading this congregation at that time. And in the subsequent years, I had an opportunity to work with him on the board of Teen Challenge in Capitol Heights, Maryland. Mike left that some time ago and has been traveling internationally, establishing drug and alcohol treatment centers around the world. He was sharing with me just this morning, he's headed for Ukraine this coming fall to the city of Kiev, which is on the other end of the country from where we're investing ourselves. But nonetheless, he goes everywhere. Now, we've known one another long enough to raise our children, to share the fellowship of suffering and ministry setbacks and the joy of great victories in God. But the enduring things are the fact that we're both survivors in ministry, and that there's a certain deposit that the Lord will invest in you if you remain faithful in the little things. Now, this is a brother who has been faithful in the little things, and God has made him the steward of much. He has an international reputation and influence. He's a good friend. He's a man who loves Jesus, and he has been a particular friend to this congregation, and this congregation to both he and his wife and his children and extended family. Would you please rise and welcome Mike Zello, Sr.?
Thank you.
Bless you. Wonderful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Such an honor to be here today. There are a number of churches that support my wife and I on a monthly basis, and this church was one of the first that took out a substantial pledge. And just before I left home this morning, my wife said, "Honey, please tell the people thank you for their faithful support. This church has not missed a beat in supporting us." Equally as important to me and to my wife and to my family is the not only the friendship that we have with your pastor and his wife, but the prophetic ministry that comes from this body. I can't tell you how it has blessed us and changed us. I can still remember the last time we were here. And those of you with this gift prophesied over us. We didn't know what laid ahead. All we had was a vision and a burden. But God confirmed a word to us in this congregation. And I want you to know that that word has been fulfilled many, many times in various parts of the world. I called my son Mike last night and said, "Mike, I think I know where the church is, but you lived in that area. Give me some directions." And he did. And he said, "Dad, please tell the congregation how the prophetic ministry has impacted our lives." He and Cindy stepped out in pure faith, believing that God was leading them out of a secure position to start a Teen Challenge ministry that's been greatly needed, and that is a reentry and restoration center for people that have gone through Teen Challenge and need to have an environment, a place where they could be together and they can find employment and get plugged into a local church and serve God in that capacity. And that center is up and running. And Mike said, "Dad, please tell the people I will never forget the prophetic word that came when Cindy and I were there. It has literally changed their lives forever." Hallelujah. When I'm not traveling somewhere, I'm doing administrative work and responding to requests from various people to help start a Teen Challenge Center. I'm dealing with crisis intervention. And there's a few people that send me jokes. I don't read everything because, in fact, sometimes I just see a person's name and I erase it. I don't know where they get time to do all the stuff and, you know, send the stuff. And my time is very limited, very valuable. But There are about two or three people that I open up their emails because they do send something funny. And I just got this. I don't know who sent it, but it's called Great Truths. Great Truths That Little Children Have Learned. Number one, no matter how hard you try, you can't baptize cats. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. If your sister hits you, don't hit her back. They always catch the second person. You can't trust dogs to watch your food. Don't sneeze when someone is cutting your hair. You can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Don't wear polka dot underwear under white shorts. Now here's some great truths that adults have learned. Raising teenagers is like nailing Jell-O to a tree. Middle age is when you choose your cereal for the fiber, not the toy. Families are like fudge, mostly sweet with a few nuts. Here's some great truths about growing old. When you fall down, you wonder what else you can do while you're down there. You're getting old when you get the same sensation from a rocking chair that you once got from a roller coaster. Here's a good one for men, the four stages of life. Number one, you believe in Santa Claus. Number two, you don't believe in Santa Claus. Number three, you are Santa Claus. And number four, you look like Santa Claus. Success. At age four, success is not wetting your pants. At age 12, success is having friends. At age 16, success is having a driver's license. At age 25, success is being married. At age 35, success is having money. At age 50, success is having money. At age 65, success is being married. At age 70, success is having a driver's license. At age 75 is having friends. At age 80, success is not wetting your pants. A nun asked her class to write notes to God, and here's what some of them handed in. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not have killed each other if they had their own rooms. That's what my mom did for me and my brother. Dear God, I bet it's very hard to love everyone in the world. There are only four people in our family, and I'm having a hard time loving all of them. Dear God, my brother told me about being born, but it doesn't sound right. They're just kidding, aren't they? Dear God, do you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, then I'm really going to get my big brother. A little girl had just finished her first week of school. I'm just wasting my time, she said to her mother. I can't read, I can't write, and they won't let me talk. This is a good one for you, Pastor. A woman was trying hard to get the ketchup to come out of the jar. During her struggle, the phone rang, and so she asked her 4-year-old daughter to answer the phone. "It's the minister, Mommy," the child said to her mother. Then she added, "Mommy can't come to the phone to talk to you right now. She's hitting the bottle." Laughter is good exercise. It's like jogging on the inside. We all need a good laugh, don't we? Thursday night, I returned from Bogota, Colombia, where we're starting Teen Challenge Ministry and actually relocating the men's program from Santa Marta to Bogota, and also be starting a women's program in Bogota. And I asked the missionary to break my heart. I said, "Take me to the city where the prostitutes are, where the people are in the fields, in the garbage dumps, scrummaging for food." And he did. And my heart was broken. And when you see these things, how low humanity can get. These women literally living in cages, bars on the windows and on the doors, and just standing out in the front and selling themselves like that for drugs and filled with disease and no hope. It made me appreciate the ministry of Teen Challenge once again, because these are the kind of people that God has called us to reach. And I want to share with you this morning a message entitled Missions, a Field of Opportunity. I love missions, and particularly the ministry of Teen Challenge, and now representing Global Teen Challenge. And that's why I've given 62 years. I can't believe I'm that old. 62 years of my life to missions. And I, like the Energizer Bunny, I'm still going and going and going and going. There's an interesting verse found in the Bible. Haven't heard anybody preach on it. It's found in Colossians 1, verse 6. And I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation. Colossians 1, verse 6. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church. Timothy was with him. And this is what he said. "This same good news, this gospel that came to you is going out all over the world. It is changing lives everywhere, just as it changed yours the very day you heard and understood the truth about God's great kindness to sinners." And I want you to know that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing all over the world through the ministry of Global Teen Challenge. Everywhere I go in the world, and I'm flying about 100,000 miles a year, everywhere I go in the world, I meet people whose lives have been changed by the power of God through Teen Challenge. In Iceland, I met a former alcoholic who is the founder and director of a ministry called Some Help. And when I asked him how he started the ministry to alcoholics and drug addicts, tears came to his eyes. He reached behind him and took a paper-bound copy of the Cross and a Switchblade book off his shelf. And he said, "I was an alcoholic. I was addicted. I was lost without God, without hope. Somebody gave me a copy of this book. I read it, and it gave me faith. It gave me hope, and I asked God to come into my life and break the power of the addiction to alcohol, and Jesus Christ changed me and set me free." And he said, "I just simply started to do what Dave Wilkerson did, and that's how this ministry came into existence." In Johannesburg, South Africa, I met middle-aged men whose lives were changed. They were saved at a Dave Wilkerson crusade down there in the early 70s. And they told me that 30 of them are now full-time pastors, and one of them is the pastor of the largest church in South Africa. Happens to be a Pentecostal church, too, Rema Church. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Riverside, California, attending our Teen Challenge Executive Board meeting, and I saw someone who I hadn't seen in years, Johnny Melendez, a former drug addict from Spanish Harlem, went through Teen Challenge in 1964. And today, Johnny is a retired lieutenant colonel with 26 years of service as a United States Army chaplain. Hallelujah. I want to tell you why I believe in the ministry of Global Teen Challenge. But before I do, I want to pray. Lord, I thank you for your strength and your presence and your holiness and your truth and your love and your grace that is given without measure. I thank you, Lord, that you don't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. But Lord, in your holiness and in your love and in your grace, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I thank you for allowing me to be a part of this end time harvest throughout the world. I thank you for this congregation, Lord, that's very close to my heart. Lord, we truly are co-laborers together with Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, may they be encouraged to know what you are doing and what you are about to do through the ministry that they support so faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the reasons why I love this ministry and have given my life to it is because Global Teen Challenge is a fertile ministry. If you're going to sow seed, you want to sow it in good soil. If you're going to invest, you want to make sure the investment is going to be a good investment. I'm from New York City, if you haven't been able to tell that yet. My wife's from Indiana. Now, in New York, there's more asphalt than there's dirt. Although, if you dig under the asphalt, New York City really has some good soil. But Kay is from Indiana, where there's rich black soil. And you can just open the window and throw seed and it'll grow. Now, we're living in Virginia, and Virginia, the soil is sort of like Maryland, hard red clay. And if you're going to get anything out of that soil, you've got to cultivate it in order to make something grow. Now, I don't know a whole lot about farming, but I do know one thing, that the first principle of farming, which is also the principle of missions, is that if you're going to sow and really want a harvest, you've got to sow in fertile ground. You've got to sow where you're going to get the greatest return and the maximum harvest. Right now, the ground is fertile for Global Teen Challenge in Romania. We've been praying about this. And finally, God has raised up a couple to head up the ministry. We've been working there. We have a Christian coffee house in Bucharest. But the heartbreaking need is that there are thousands of teenagers and children in Bucharest living in the sewers. And we are believing God for the finances that are necessary to open up a Teen Challenge residential program to get these homeless youth and children out of the sewers, off the streets, and into a loving Christian environment where they can experience the power and the presence of Jesus and be disciplined and discipled in the things of God. The ground is fertile for Teen Challenge in Cape Town, South Africa, where Kay and I help train an assembly got pastor nationals, Jacobus and Erica Namdu. And they recently resigned their church and are full-time directors of Teen Challenge. The center, we believe God for this building. It's a 14-store strip mall that was a bank foreclosure, and that we had no money there. And the Missionary Field Fellowship Assembly of God was giving them $300 a month to rent one end of this building. And when I was there about a year and a half ago, I said, Jacobus, how much will it cost to buy this building? He looked at me like, what, are you crazy? Make a long story short, we bought the building for $75,000. A church in the South that was in a building program, God spoke to the pastor and the board. They gave $50,000. We raised the rest. Teen Challenge of Cape Town owns a strip mall. And it's in a community that they call the jungle. 70% unemployment. Cape Town is a very beautiful area, but there are pockets of townships, and in those townships, it's very, very dangerous, and we are in one of the worst, but God is bringing light and glory, and we've trained the people, and they're running a very wonderful program. But here's where I'm getting at. I'm talking about fertile ground. We did a Book of Hope outreach, Teen Challenge, and Book of Hope, which is a magazine of the life of Christ in a chronological sequence in the first two chapters of Acts. We put together a special edition with 16 challenge proven testimonies in the centerfold, and we handed out over 76,000 of these last year. But our Teen Challenge ministry started in the public schools. We introduced a program called STARS, which is an acronym for Students Taking a Right Stand. And it's a moral character building program, Christian clubs, in other words. And we're in 9 public schools. And the most beautiful thing about South Africa, as opposed to America, is we're allowed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the public schools. And with over 25% of the population being HIV positive and the juvenile gang warfare, as a result of the impact that we have with Teen Challenge through the STARS program, the Book of Hope outreach, Jacobus received a letter from the superintendent of schools, and he invited Teen Challenge to have STARS clubs in each of the 250 public schools with an open invitation to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The ground is fertile to start Teen Challenge in Taiwan and Beijing, China. Now, I can't tell you everything that I know, except I will say this. I'm probably going to be going to China in March. We have people there working incognito, some for years. But we have somebody who has taken an interest in Teen Challenge and has brought Teen Challenge to the attention of the leaders in China. And we are trying to become registered as a foreign NGO to have drug rehab centers in the country. That application is in their hands. There is no other organization from America registered in China except Operation Blessing that recently got approved to do humanitarian things. Our application is being processed even as I speak. But in addition to that, China has denied they've had any drug problem, but it exists. And now they're beginning to recognize it. And we have somebody who believes in Global Teen Challenge that has brought a request. Let me just read briefly. This is from our contact in China. I'm writing today with news of some tremendous opportunities that have opened up for Global Teen Challenge here. We have an opportunity to influence the whole of China's public educational system with any materials which we can get to them. The national leaders of the Chinese Central Committee level, and there isn't any higher, has told us that the Central Committee has already approved to do TV programs and books with the anti-drug awareness and prevention agenda. This is a miracle, as the Chinese government has in the past always taken a road of denial of any problems which they feel causes them to lose face. Our friend, and this is a contact we have, has personally visited the top leaders of several of these government departments and has shared about Global Teen Challenge with them. He is convinced that this is something which China needs. He has favor and a great relationship with all whom he has talked with. Bottom line is this. Global Teen Challenge will be the group chosen to help with this national task if we can get materials to them quickly. In other words, we will be the first organization to write drug prevention material, education material, TV spot announcements, etc., that will be presented throughout China. God is so awesome. I'm still trying to fathom this. The ground is fertile. A few months ago, I was in Calcutta, India. And the government there is communist. But you know, God has been giving us favor with communist governments and with Muslim republics, Islamic republics. And we put together a steering committee to help get Teen Challenge started and help write a constitution and bylaws, and it should be approved within the next few weeks. But I just got this word from our contact there. Warm Christian greetings from Calcutta. Just want you to know that the Lord has been doing special things for us here. We are presently ministering to 8 drug addicts and believe that the Lord has a beautiful future for them. We're presently working on the registration for Calcutta Teen Challenge. Should everything go well, we should know shortly. The ground is fertile for Teen Challenge. Let me tell you why the ground is fertile, and I can give you reports from other countries. But the reason why the ground is fertile is because the kind of people we work with, these are people that have tried everything. They've been in and out of prison and jails and mental institutions. And they've tried everything. And they have nowhere to go, no one to help them. They've lost everything. You don't have to go up to them and say, you know, you need God in your life. They know that. They've tried everything else, and everything else has failed. And it's easier to witness to these people sometimes than it is to witness to your neighbor next door who thinks they're okay. That's why I love this ministry. It's fertile ground. Not only is Teen Challenge fertile ground, and let me tell you, last year I was over in the Asia area and I met with the general superintendents of the Assemblies of God. And we've received invitations from these men to start Teen Challenge in New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, Thailand, Guam, Cambodia, Manila, and Indonesia. Additional requests have come from Russia, Ghana, West Africa, Israel, Peru, Ukraine, Zambia, and Samoa. The ground is also fertile for us in many Muslim countries of the world that have a serious drug and alcohol problem. And you'll be happy to know that we currently have representatives operating Teen Challenge centers in 5 Muslim countries. And we train one young man to go into Iran. He's an Iranian. And he's there right now helping to get Teen Challenge started. This is an absolute miracle because missionaries have tried for years to go into these Muslim republics and have a ministry and have been denied access. And yet we are there legally. Legally. God has given us favor. Teen Challenge is not only a fertile ministry, but it's a fruitful one. If you sow in good soil, you're going to get good results. And success is measured by results. And the results are in. And I shared this, I believe, the last time, but some of you may not have heard it. Studies in 1975 conducted by the National Institute of Drug Abuse indicated an 86% cure rate for people who successfully completed the Teen Challenge program. The results is based on the National Opinion Research Organization personally interviewing and chemically testing alumni 5 to 7 years after graduating the program. That was in 1975. In 1994, the University of Tennessee report concluded that over 60% of the program graduates continue their education. Over 70% indicated their current status as self-supporting. Over 55% have been at their present job for more than a year. Over 87% did not require additional drug treatment. Over 65% are involved in community activities. And I love this one. Over 90% reported good to excellent health. Summary indicators of success include, 1, a stabilized lifestyle. 2, employment and financial independence. 3, absence of trouble with the police. And 4, an ability to enjoy freedom and productivity without supervision. That was in 1994. In June of 1999, a comparative evaluation research project was supervised by Northwestern University in Illinois, once again showing that 86% of those who complete the Teen Challenge program have remained drug-free. Teen Challenge graduates from across America were interviewed. The study took 3 years. And I love this, Pastor. The researchers concluded that 84% of the Teen Challenge graduates attend church weekly. I was in Cebu City, Philippines, about a year and a half ago, and I asked Jacob Koshy, the director, about their success rate. And he said, well, the government came in and they determined that we have a 61% cure rate. And then he smiled and he said, but of that number, 30% are in full-time ministry. Most of them are pastoring Assembly of God churches. I asked Bishak, who, big Polish guy, great sense of humor, speaks with a broken accent. I said, what's your success rate in Poland? He said, oh, we have over 90%. I said, wow, that's high. I said, what do you base that on? He said, every year we have a picnic, and over 90% of our graduates show up for the picnic, so I know they're still saved, because they wouldn't come to the picnic if they weren't. Teen Challenge in Pakistan. Kay and I were there to do some training several years ago. We trained the nationals, and we didn't know what was going to happen. As a result of September the 11th, our missionaries can't really live there. They're in and out, but we trained the nationals, and they're doing a great job directing a Teen Challenge center. But let me just read briefly. Now, you have to understand, in these Muslim countries, they believe in Jesus. They believe in the Gospels, and all of our 14 lessons, our student curriculum, have been translated in Urdu. Cross and Switchblade has been translated and being distributed, the book, in Urdu. But you can't go up to someone in the street and talk about Christ. You get beheaded. So when we put together our Teen Challenge Center, we started with an office and did Turning Point, small support groups, and we brought the people in who had the drug problem, and just kind of, you know, it's like living as a Christian, lifestyle evangelism, they call it. And so we started with that. Now, Let me give you the report first, and I'll tell you a little bit about how this takes place. This is from our contact there. We are so thrilled with the work of Teen Challenge here. This is coming from Attic. We have an office in Islamabad, but the residential center, 6 acres in Attic, Pakistan, which is less than 100 miles from the Afghan border. And we have contact in Afghanistan. We're trying to work on getting a Teen Challenge there. But he said, we're so thrilled here as we are starting to see the fruit from the seeds planted. Muslim students are attending church and hearing the gospel in acts of love and also by one-on-one witnessing. Our staff is doing a great job. I'm able to go out to Attic Center 2 to 3 times a week and coordinate the programs, but it's really the staff, the nationals, that are doing the work. We currently have 15 students and are moving up to 20. Now, let me tell you what happens. We share the lessons with them. We can't force them to come to church. When they're going through the lessons and God begins to speak to their hearts, the next thing they say is they want to come to church. So then they come to our chapel services at the center. The next thing that happens is they want to be baptized in water. That's the clincher. That means they've gotten saved and now they want to be baptized as a Christian believer. That means, you know, their whole family disowns them. They're radically changed. It's happening in Pakistan. One of our associates just returned from Kazakhstan. This is a former communist country, predominantly Muslim. And for years, missionaries couldn't do a thing in that country. And Kazakhstan Teen Challenge now has 400 students. My friend went to a graduation, 100 students graduated. The government has been giving them buildings, and they've been buying other buildings. My friend said the buildings are worth about $10 million, and they're all debt-free. And they've got centers scattered throughout the country, 18 challenge centers throughout the capital of Almaty. And he said when he attended the graduation exercise, the auditorium was packed and distinguished guests were in attendance, including the mayor of the city, the drug czar of Kazakhstan, and the British consulate. The president of Kazakhstan has fully endorsed Teen Challenge as the most successful rehabilitation program in the country. I love this. Of the original 9 students, 5 are in the ministry as pastors, and others are outstanding citizens. Out of this Teen Challenge group, the Assemblies of God has been established and registered with the government. One of the original graduates now serves as a general superintendent of the Assemblies of God. We started the fellowship there. Hallelujah. The key to Teen Challenge, Global Teen Challenge success, and the key to the success of any church is found in John 15, verses 4 and 5. John 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit." Jesus said, and he said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And verse 16, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Society says once a drug addict, always a drug addict. Or at best, you will always be a recovering alcoholic. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Global Teen Challenge is a fertile ministry. It's a fruitful ministry. It's also a frugal ministry. My mother worked for Teen Challenge for 14 years. Little bitty lady. She was the most frugal person you ever want to meet. One time, a big guy looked like killer, tattoos on his arm, student of Teen Challenge. He's got his arm up like this with his plate on it, walking over to the garbage pail. My little Italian mother looked at him, grabbed his arm and said, "What are you doing? There's food in that plate. Get over there and finish eating all that food. It's free. It's good. You like it. God provided for you." "Yes, Mama." I remember visiting Angola when it was still at war, civil war, one of the poorest countries I've ever been in. Caught malaria there, but God healed me. It's another story. But I remember meeting Cristavo, the director. He used to be a Portuguese colony in independence. Now, as soon as they declared their independence, a war broke out for 20-something years. And Cristavo came to Portugal. We were doing some training there. And Portuguese Teen Challenge is the largest youth movement in the country. You hear what I just said? The largest youth movement in the country. And they were preparing to send a shipping container of stuff over to Angola. And the container was full. And they had it parked near the carpentry shop. And Cristavo is back there taking scraps of wood from the carpentry shop and stuffing it in the cracks of the container. And one of the staff members says, "What are you doing? We're going to throw that away." He said, "You don't understand. To you, this maybe is not much." He said, "But to us, it's worth something." He said, "Let me tell you what we're going to do with this. We're going to cut these pieces of scrap wood and we're going to make little bitty benches. And we're going to sell them for pennies to the poor people that are living on the street so they could have something to sit on." And he said, "Not only that, but when we cut them and to square up the wood, we'll put plastic on the ground and we'll save the sawdust and we'll put them in little bags. And when we sell the chair to the bench to these people for pennies, we'll give them a little bag of sawdust so they can use it to make a fire and at least cook one meal." I was in Belarus visiting Teen Challenge, very poor country, still communist. They're in this little village out in the country. And they had a van that they were working on, up on blocks. I know the van probably went through one or two missionaries' hands, probably had 300,000 miles on it. And here Teen Challenge of Belarus winds up with it, and they're trying to fix it with wire and duct tape. It's a frugal ministry. Listen, we can squeeze the buffalo off of a nickel and stretch every dollar. And this is what I've learned, having helped start Teen Challenge centers in different parts of the world and doing training and visiting the centers. Anything that we give them is more than they have. Anything. And is received with, is considered a blessing and received with thanksgiving as an answer to prayer. Nothing is wasted. Teen Challenge is also a faithful ministry. It's withstood the test of time for over 45 years. And it's a ministry that's still growing. It's a ministry that won't be here today and gone tomorrow. And you'll be happy to know, and this number probably isn't accurate, but we are presently in 78 countries with 590 rehab ministries, residential programs, and outreach ministries. And I say I'm probably wrong with the statistics because we just found out that 80 teen challenge centers are in Brazil, and that wasn't part of these numbers. And we're going to be going there in the fall to do some training for these people. Last but not least, Teen Challenge is a faith ministry. Our Teen Challenge centers around the world don't know from one day to the next where their money is coming from to support and to sustain the work. Therefore, they are totally dependent on God to meet their daily needs. Several years ago, I attended a leadership conference of Teen Challenge at the training center in Rearsburg, Pennsylvania. The place was packed. We were in the gymnasium, and there was a black brother preaching who was a graduate of Teen Challenge. I heard he pastors a church in the South. I don't remember his name. But halfway through his sermon, he stopped. He said, "I want to say something to you Teen Challenge directors concerning finances." He said, "I know that the finances are always like a cloud hanging over your head." And he said, "And you never have enough money to do what you want to do." And he said, "Let me tell you why. God has ordained Teen Challenge to always be poor. Because God has put the element of faith in this ministry so that you can trust God, so that you can teach us to trust God." He said, "Before I came to Teen Challenge, I was a drug addict." He said, I would hurt people. I stole. I was in prison. I was a criminal. Anything I wanted, I went and stole for it. I come to Teen Challenge at the bottom of my life. Lost everything. No future. An addict. And I walk through the doors. People greet me with love and say, "Brother, we're so glad you're here. God brought you here. Trust God." Trust God. How could I learn to trust God unless the staff were trusting God? And I used to see the director pray, "God, we need so much money before Friday. Otherwise, the electricity is going to be shut off and we're not able to pay our bill." And tears would be streaming down his cheeks. And he said, "We're going to pray and fast. If anyone wants to join me, I'll be in the chapel tomorrow." And several of us would go and pray with him. And then Friday would come, and in chapel he would stand up and he'd still be crying, except now tears of joy. And he would hold up a check or tell us that God provided, the need has been met. He said, God put the element of faith in this ministry so that we could learn how to trust God and live by faith. I agree with Martin Luther, who said, "Faith changes people. It makes them see everything in a new light. Their ears hear, their eyes see, and their hearts feel something completely different from what everyone else perceives." He said, "Faith is living and powerful. It is not a simple-minded idea. It doesn't float around in the heart like a goose on water. Rather, it is like water that's been heated. After heating, the water is different. It's still water, but it is warmed." And the same thing happens when the Holy Spirit gives a Teen Challenge student a simple, active, and profound faith. It transforms his or her heart, mind, and attitude during the process of their time in Teen Challenge and creates an entirely new person, one who trusts God for everything. Like Gerald Mahan, evangelist, Assembly God evangelist, Gerald Mahan, big black brother. Two of our students went to Howard University psychiatric ward and witnessed to him. And before I knew it, he was in Teen Challenge at Capitol Heights. When we were building our church, he was there on the construction site, middle-aged man, blinking, nervous. I introduced myself to him. He told me his name was Gerald Mahan. He went through the program. Didn't cause any problems. Somewhere in the process of going through Teen Challenge, God saved him. God baptized him in the Holy Spirit. God called him into full-time ministry. And when he graduated Teen Challenge, if he would walk in this church right now, had a big black Bible in his hand, walk right down the aisle, he'd say, "I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's worthy to be praised. My name is Gerald Mahan. I've been a heroin addict for 18 years, and Jesus Christ set me free." And then he'd start preaching. And even if you were saved, you got into conviction and want to get saved again after hearing him. God opened doors for him to go into West Virginia where they hardly even seen black people. He's preaching his all-white churches, people getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he's been saved about 14 years. And he's never come off the mountain. The guy has never come off the mountain. 2 years after he was saved, he came into my office. He said, "Brother Mike, I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's worthy to be praised." My son Mike nicknamed him Gerald Fire Shut Up in My Bones Mayhem. And he said, "Brother Mike," he said, "I want you to know that since the day I graduated Teen Challenge, I've led at least one person to Jesus Christ every day." I got a call a few months ago from Aruba where we're getting Teen Challenge started. Freddie said, "Brother Mike, there's somebody here that wants to say hello to you. This guy, everywhere he goes, people are getting saved. He's going to restaurants, leading waitresses and waiters." I said, "Gerald Mahan, put him on the phone." "Hello, Brother Mike, man. This is Brother Gerald. Oh, I'm having a great time here in Aruba, Brother Mike. People are getting saved." I spoke at a fundraising banquet about a month or so ago in Memphis, Tennessee. And one of the Teen Challenge students said, "Teen Challenge taught me faith. Faith gave me hope. And hope made me love again." Jesus said in John 4:35, "Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Missions is a field of opportunity. And our mission in Global Teen Challenge is to help facilitate life transformation for people with life-controlling problems, one person at a time, through the power of God. We believe that drug addicts don't want free heroin. They don't want free methadone. They don't want free needles. They just want to be free. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Bible says, "He whom the Son has set free is free indeed." That's why I love missions and the Christ-centered ministry of Global Teen Challenge. And that's why, like the Energizer Bunny, I'm still going and going and going and going. And the Lord willing, this year we'll be going to Quito, Ecuador, Ghana, West Africa, Israel, Ukraine, and Russia twice, and also Brazil, to help the ministries of Teen Challenge get started and to train workers to work in the harvest field and to reap the harvest. Thank you for sending us. Without your missionary support and prayers of protection, it would be impossible. Kay and I are honored to be your missionaries to the world, the field of opportunity. God bless you.
I would call that some vision casting. You know, we have an interesting situation on our hands here at Prague. We touch a lot of stuff. We know a lot of people. We are relationally connected to a lot of ministries. When it comes to missions, we've been committed in principle since we got saved. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That hangs in our spirit sometimes without a real recognition of how to do it. But in recent years, the Lord has allowed us to become committed in practice. We, in this room, are going to the nations. We're actually getting on planes, flying over there, and seeing God be the same God we know Him to be everywhere else. I was having breakfast up in Lancaster with a prophet Saturday morning. And we were just talking about things of the kingdom. He said, I really want, just hold that thought. I really want to hear what you've got to say about that. But the Lord's just given me an open vision about your future, and I'd like to share it with you, if I may. Well, you may. And he saw me as a big white ocean liner moving briskly through the seas with the flags of 12 nations at the bow, with the heavy breeze of the Spirit of God causing them to flap in the winds. And he says, I know that you're going to 12 nations. I know that when you get there, you're going to be walking in favor that's unprecedented. And I know that the ship means that there are folks going with you that you already know. Do you have your passport yet? Okay. So we're also actually doing missions in practice and have the prophetic testimony hanging over us that we haven't really even begun yet. But there's another aspect of missions that we have been giving ourselves to, and that's partnership. See, we've learned through the years and have tried to teach you and to demonstrate in the way we handle Prague's finances and our personal finances that when we can't go, we should send. Because there's a very specific promise in the Scripture. I don't get tired of telling it, even if you get tired of hearing it, but I'm going to read it to you again. It's in 3 John, verses 5 through 8. And the Lord has testified this to me again and again and again in my life with the Lord. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Now, when I came to this congregation, this church was giving to 12 missionaries, $10 a month. That's a seed. But let me tell you something. That is not in a manner worthy of God. Do you hear me? This is not about, you know, send him on his way and get. No, we are investing in the work of Teen Challenge globally every month in this congregation, and many of us monthly out of our, in addition to what we give on a monthly basis to missions here. If you send them on their way in a manner worthy of God, you do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such so that we may become fellow workers. Fellow workers, hello, for the truth. I am absolutely persuaded that the accounting system in heaven knows how to divide the spoils for those who support what's going on. I'm absolutely persuaded of that. So we're also committed in partnership. Now, the Assembly of God has a serious commitment to and long history of missions. I believe it's one of the reasons they continue to prosper around the world, because they're not a maintenance organization. They're plowing new ground, and Mike's just given us an excellent expression of that. But what you hear in the testimony that Mike's given, what I know from my personal participation with this outfit through the years, is that you see the Spirit of God clothed in the spirit of service, extending compassion to personal, felt, and national needs. Now, when a nation's people can't function because of drug, the nations have a problem. But they only solve it one human being at a time. So Jesus has got himself an expression in Teen Challenge. But we have an expression in Mike Zello, in the whole Zello family. I not only believe in the mission and their message, but I believe in the man. And I can tell you, for 20-something years I've known this brother to have fire shut up in his bones for this cause. And we as a people have stood with them all these years, long before I came to this church. This church was investing in Teen Challenge. And so when you hear those places that they're going, we help get them there. And when they reap a harvest, God remembers who facilitated that harvest. I want to encourage you not only this morning to give generously, but to recognize that the ground is fertile, the ministry is fruitful, and these brothers have already demonstrated that they're faithful. This is something you can give to on a regular basis and know that somewhere on this planet right now, that dollar is touching somebody. It goes in and out immediately. You heard the drill. We had, I don't know, you probably know this story, but last fall, we tithe on our gross tithe income in this congregation. The trustees see to it that we distribute monies on a yearly basis so that God knows we're being faithful as a household with the tithe. And we had accumulated some monies that needed to be dispensed. And so we put our heads together and said, well, look, let's make sure we include the Zellos in this thing. So we wrote a nice check, and Tim launched it. I just had a requirement that by December 31st it not be in our pockets. But so he attended to that, and we got a call from your son telling us that they had a particular need arise, and they began to ask God about it. And within 2 days, our check showed up. Don't you just love being the answer to prayer? See, the Lord knows how to do His stuff, but He chooses to do it through us. And those who have become rich in giving understand that God has made them rich in resource, because He gives seed to the sower, not the consumer. He's willing to make us managers so we can invest in what He's doing. That's great. Brothers, would you come? We're going to receive an offering. You make it out to PRAG Prague. Every cent that comes in goes, absolutely every cent goes to what we tell you is being collected for. We had a guy, Mike, we had an evangelist wife call here once. She said, we received a check from you guys today. It was something like $5.63. What's that about? I said, well, there was a mistake in the counting, and we owed you $5.63. She goes, well, I guess your word is true. You give every penny that you say you collect. It's a matter of integrity before the Lord. You know, there are things that happen in a moment in time like this. For instance, there are some of you who sit there nodding your heads, thinking, oh, that's good, that's good. Then there are others of you who start to nod off as the statistics grow, and that's understandable. But then there are others of you who, when you hear these things, it moves your spirit. There's something in you that just cries out to get your hands in that work. You need to realize those are the kinds of responses that constitute a call to missions work. Do you hear me? Not everybody is graced to go, but some of you are not graced to stay. The spiritual DNA in you will not reach maturity until you are out there doing that. And if you know that's you, if you know in your knower, you're not wondering, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe this. No, but you know that when you hear that stuff, something rises up in you for missions. I want you to stand. Well, I'm going to have them come to you, brother, if you would just come stand right here. Mike said, I'm going to Ukraine in September. Will you go with me? I said, well, I'm going to already be there. But Mike, come stand here, please. I want you to receive these who have a stirring in them. And I want you to lay hands on them, that God would awaken that impartation and clarity of vision within you. Now, realize that some of you will be like the Welch's grape juice family. You couldn't go, and so you established a company to fund missions. That's where that, what do you call it, that company that does that kind of stuff came from. It was specifically designed, brought into being in the heart of people to fund missions work around the world. And that's not the only national name that you would recognize. Some of us are graced to release into the work. Some of us are graced to go. I'm committed to giving you opportunity to get there and test drive that sensation of anointing. All right? I want you folks to come up here. And Mike's going to pray with you about the going.
Somewhere. We pray, God, with tears, raise up workers. We have more needs than we have workers. We need people that will be willing to help us with evangelism. My son Tim heads up our evangelism group, and he takes teams with him in different parts of the world to do street evangelism. And some of that will include the Book of Hope distribution, be in some of the schools, doing crusades at night. And I just want to whet your appetite. He just came back from Glasgow, Scotland. He'll be leaving next week for Barbados, taking a team. He's trying to put a team together for this summer to go to Cape Town. And every time I think of Cape Town, I have to weep because we don't have someone that could head up the ministries to go into the 250 public schools yet. We have a wide open door. Some of you might be able to take some time off and do a short-term missions trip for a couple of months to help us. It could be secretary work. It could be a number of things. But what I'm trying to tell you is we have need for you. We need you to pray. When I had malaria, I was so sick. I was literally dying. I couldn't pray for myself. The word got back to America. Assemblies of God happened to be having their district council, and Bob Roden, the superintendent, stopped and said, "We just got word from Angola. Mike Zello has malaria." And people began to pray. And I felt the power of those prayers on that deathbed. And God raised me up. And before I left Africa, went to the doctor. And the doctor did blood work. And he said, "I want you to know there's no trace of malaria in your bloodstream. No trace. We need you." And I have faith for two things. I have faith that God will raise up workers because it's promised in the Word. Jesus told his disciples, "Pray that the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest field." They prayed, and who did he send? Them. I have faith for that. Secondly, I have faith for those of you who are standing here or in the congregation and have a loved one or a friend or maybe yourself struggling with a life-controlling addiction or problem. I have faith to believe God for that deliverance or that healing because I've seen it happen in thousands of people's lives. And as I pray for those who are standing here, I want those of you in the congregation, if you know someone, perhaps it's you or maybe someone in your family that's struggling with a life-controlling problem, will you stand right now? Because I want to pray for you as well. Just stand up. You've got someone that you know. Could be a friend, could be a loved one, family member that's struggling with a life-controlling problem, an addiction. I'm not going to ask you what that is, but God knows. And Lord, here we are. We are your people. You know each one of us by name. You know Ken. And Lord, you have placed a calling upon him. It's a divine calling. It's something he cannot shake. And I pray, Lord, that the confirmation of that call be so strong in his life that you will give him the time and the opportunity to do what he feels he must do. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, you're speaking. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will create in her such an excitement, such an enthusiasm, such vision. Lord, that she will not rest until this vision becomes a reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the vision become a reality, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. You have established your throne in his heart. Hallelujah. And Lord, I pray that you'll free him up. Lord, I don't know all that means, but I just pray that you'll free him up to do those things that you have designated for him. You have already designed, you've assigned certain things, Lord, for him to do. And I just pray you'll free him up to do it. Free him up. Hallelujah. God, let your anointing rest upon this endeavor. Lord, those that have such problems with being able to relate and to study and to learn, versus poor self-esteem, self-images. Oh God, I pray that they will see themselves in a new light. Let them see their value to you. Lord, I pray that the pain of the past will be cursed in the lives of these people. That they will see themselves in a new light. First of all, love not because of their achievement, but love because God loves them. And when Jesus died on the cross, he placed value on every human life. For the lives of these people, oh God, bring them out of bondage into complete liberty and freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, Lord, we don't need to struggle. And I just pray, oh God, that you'll take the struggle away. And may she completely lean upon you. Give her peace, oh God. And out of that peace, let her ministry grow, be birthed in her heart. So that when it comes to reality, she will know that it was birthed in the heart of God through peace, through peace, through peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we're trusting you now. We're trusting you now. Lord, you brought us to where we are. Hallelujah. Lord, let the depth that you have brought them into, let it be deeper in Christ. God, let the ministries that they have been feeling to be birth and experience, Lord. You said that if we delight ourselves in you, you will give us the desires of our hearts. And Lord, today, we acknowledge without you, we can do nothing. We delight in you, Lord. We delight in your presence. But we'll never feel completely satisfied until we can bring others into your presence as well. And Lord, we stand here, we kneel here, submitting ourselves to you. You do all things well. And I pray that you will birth ministries in the hearts of those who are here. They say, here am I. Use me. Here am I. Send me. Oh God. I pray that from this congregation, we will have a new relationship. One of going together. One of going together. And together we will see and witness the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe that's a prophetic word. We're not just praying together. We're not just giving together. We're going to go together. Make the way, Lord. Make the way. Show us what lands, what peoples, what activities. We submit to your higher power, to your higher call. And for those who are standing with loved ones and individuals struggling with life-controlling addictions and problems, Lord, you can cancel out that sin. You can break the powers of addiction. Lord, I've seen it happen in every culture where I've been in the world. The power of the living God coming into that young man's life who surrendered his knife to me by the railroad tracks in Calcutta.
see the power of God come over him. That man that I witnessed to in Costa Rica, as he was fixing his son's bicycle, and he said, God brought you here. He said, I feel the presence of God. Lord, this is reality. This is the power of our God. And I pray that every person who's represented by those who are standing here, those people will experience the power and the might of our living God to convict them of their sin and to break the powers of addiction and bring them out of darkness into light. God, start that miracle today as a result of our intercessory prayer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
All right, those of you who are standing here, I want you to look at me and listen. It's insufficient. It's incomplete faith to simply come forward. There are acts of faith that will move you forward. I want you to get your passport. Fill out the application, pay the fee, get the passport, and put it in your travel bag. I want you to get your finances in order. You can't afford $8,000 of debt on your credit card when you're trying to fund an airline ticket. All right? If you need to start a cottage industry because you know that others won't be supportive within your immediate family, then start one. The kind of thing that you can control, you can receive the benefit from, and you can invest out in the nations. I want you to consider, as an interim step, how to invest your vacation days. You teachers, you have at least a month off in the summertime where you are receiving a salary already. Start looking at whether or not you can afford to invest those days in some other nation as early as this year. I want you to begin to speak about your vision to go. I want it to be noised abroad within your circle, because there are people who will hear it, be struck by it, and say, I want to give to that missions trip. They will do that. I want you to begin to ask God for the resources. Listen, this is a limited, there's only so much missions money available out of this congregation. All right? We need to ask God to begin to supply to us people who have the gift of giving and the resources to do it generously. Those people exist in the body of Christ, but they're not going to give so you can stay on TV. They're going to give so you can bring transformation in other lives. That's what they're waiting to hear. I want you to begin to research the geography and history and culture of the place that's on your heart. Know something before you get there. This is homework. This is getting ready to go. Talk to those of us who have traveled and find out what you need to be purchasing and sticking in the bathroom closet so when it's time to pack, you pull those things out in your bag and you go.